time to get smart, ladies and gentlemen, with the smart guys, or smart guy this morning. Mr. Walshine is taking a break just for today. You know him well as a foreclosure defense attorney extraordinaire. But with us, David Schwartz, businessman aficionado, entrepreneur extraordinaire in his own right, as we try and smarten up, get some common sense into a world that desperately, and I mean desperately, needs it. And we say a very, very good morning to Mr. Schwartz. Stephen, how are you, sir?
Good morning, Jay. And if the world ever needed to smarten up, this is the day. This is it. The smart guys, common sense, center ground, lower the temperature, and let's move forward as one. Let's unite. Let's come together. And speaking of coming together, Charlie couldn't make it today, but a lot of love for Charlie. Hugs and kisses all the way.
Joe, we wish him absolutely our best wishes here at LA News Radio. Stephen, there's so much to talk about, including the coveted tourney, the bronze tourney, which everybody loves. Those who have stepped in it, ladies and gentlemen, we'll go over the winner from last week and the upcoming nominee for this week. But, you know, I got to start with the situation at hand where tonight, well, you have House Democrats will vote this evening on the resolution of urging the Vice President Mike Pence to invoke the 25th Amendment. That's to remove the president from power. Then tomorrow on the article of impeachment charging Donald Trump with the incitement of insurrection. So in essence, I'll ask you this. Is it the right protocol to put in place in your estimation?
It's all wrong. Everything is wrong. Too little, too late. I mean, I understand about trying to get a dangerous man off the block. I understand about trying to get a guy that all of a sudden, you know, after 4 years, you didn't see this coming. We've been talking about this, the smart guys, on and on and on and on, week after week after week. You could see it coming right after the Governor Gretchen Whitmer and the 13 Wolverine Watchmen. They weren't going to go out peacefully when Trump came out and said, you know, it's not a big deal, you know, and then went basically against this woman that was going to be kidnapped, okay, the governor of Michigan, and made it into like it's not really that big of a deal. Why are we here now is the question, and what are we going to be doing? So now you're going to talk about being impeached when all the warning signs was here all along. It's too little, too late, Monday morning quarterbacking. There's 9 days left. You know what? Joe Biden needs 100 days to get his platform, whatever that is, set up, united, rather than in his first 10 days dealing with the craziest stuff this country hasn't seen in 100 years. So I understand your question. I'm going to answer it. I think that Mike Pence, there is no way that he is going to be a part of this any further. He did what he did. He stood up for the Constitution. He stood up for all the right things, and I applaud Mike Pence for finally breaking out of the Kool-Aid and starting to take a position that unites everybody. So good for Mike Pence. But Mike Pence is still a loyal person. He had a meeting with Trump yesterday. I'm sure that they talked about you know positive stuff and not negative stuff. I'm sure it wasn't such a great conversation that it could have been. Because all along I've been saying all Trump needed to do was say, I'm going to leave the professionals to do the job. I'm going to let them do their job. Let the pros do their job. I'm going to run the country. This is like no different than what the Philadelphia Eagles did when they threw the game. Basically, the season was over. It's done. How come every time we get to the end of someone's presidency, okay, they all of a sudden throw in the towel and they stop running the country? He needed to run the country and let the professionals do their job if he thought that the election got stolen. It wasn't for him to sit there and take the forefront. He took an oath to run the country, run the damn country. That's what he needed to do. And as far as impeachment goes, this is just another political ploy. It's not going anywhere. Okay? It's not going anywhere. And if it does go somewhere, it's only going to divide us more. We've got to come together.
Well, Stephen, what about on the other side? You have a veteran who died last week. You have three others suffering medical emergencies who passed away. You got a police officer hit over the head with a fire extinguisher. He's dead. You have another officer who committed suicide within the Capitol Force. I mean, you know, what about those who say, well, who claims responsibility for that? You know, at what point do we not give a pass to this guy? Even though there are 8 days left in his presidency, many understand that, but certainly maybe should pay a price. You know, I mean, let's face it, when you are inciting an insurrection, that's not to be taken lightly. And listen, I understand what you're saying regarding division and everything else, but you know something? A lot of people say it's just unbelievable what happened. He led the charge. He led the charge and maybe should not have said, you know what, let's head to the Capitol, because I think that was his biggest mistake. What about paying a price of some sort for those who are not with us anymore? And it could have gotten a lot worse. I mean, you saw the pictures, the video and everything else, the plastic ties, the armory, the bulletproof vests. I mean, these guys were not just walking into the Capitol to take a tour. Okay, they were looking to do some serious damage here. What about the man leading the charge with the under-the-radar type commands? When does the price to be paid there? What about that aspect?
Again, 100% right, Jay. You're right on it. That is my feeling, 100%. This man needs to pay a price. But does he pay a price at the price being our future? This guy is got to pay a price. And those people that died in vain for nothing, it was horrible, horrible, horrible. This should have never taken place. And that's my point. There was a lot of warning signs to this. The Capitol should have been, I mean, they should have had the National Guard in there. You could see this a mile away. It's horrible. And it does start with the president. The president needs to pay a price. But what the price that you're talking about is a lot more going to fuel up the fire, and it's going to fuel him to go further, to sit there and say, I'll run again in 2024, and they're picking on me, and this and that, and that's not what I meant, and we get back into legal thing. How about real results, though? How about real results? How about this guy gets taken out in handcuffs in an orange jumpsuit? How about some real results? How about this guy does some serious time? How about his kids, Donald Jr. for inciting, and Kimberly sitting there dancing during this thing, and Melania doing a rug commercial or something, or whatever she was doing in the White House. This is all a family of nonsense, an embarrassing family that runs this country. It's a joke. And Ivanka coming out with those terrible tweets. All these people, Rudy Giuliani's speech, combat, this, that. Listen to me. No one should have lost their lives that day. Nobody. And I'm going to tell you something. 90% of those people that went there didn't even know what was going on. There was a 10% amount of those people that went there to do real harm. And you're right. You said the rightest thing ever. There's no doubt that this could have been much worse. You could have had dead senators going out of there. Not that their lives are more important than the lives that were lost. But you know what? Pelosi being held hostage, which is part of the plan, supposedly, and other things that they were talking about doing, and hanging Mike Pence, the vice president, this could have been something that you couldn't even imagine. You couldn't even write this as a movie, because it was just too. Listen, the script is never going to work. It was Trump's best celebrity apprentice ever, his best show. This whole 4 years has been a show, and it's been an embarrassment. And it wasn't about the country. And it's not about steal the show. And it's like I've been saying all along. This has been about one man, one man's ego, one man, one sick man. This is a sick man who is running the presidency. But you know what? The Republican Party is still a really great party. And the Democrat Party is also a great party, because we've all got to come together. This is our United States. At the end of the day, we're more important than President Donald J. Trump. We're more important. This guy doesn't want to be president. He wants to be a dictator. This guy should pay the price. This is a disgrace of all disgraces. And you know what? I don't care if you're white, black, blue, green, yellow, gold, what your feelings are, what your thoughts are. Everybody was disgusted. Anyone with a half a brain in their head was disgusted and embarrassed about what took place. So when you sit there and say, hey, Stephen, what do you think about this and that? Hey, I don't want any more of this political BS. I want real results. I'm with you, Jay. Give me some real results.
Stephen Schwartz, smart guy. With that being said, you have Congressman Lee Zeldin, who's been a very strong supporter of the president, is facing growing backlash, calls among many now to step down in the wake of last week's attack. Remember now, this was a guy who was among the, 120, 121 or so House Republicans who voted last week to object to the certification of the president-elect Joe Biden's Electoral College victory. We know that was a move championed by the president, who has falsely claimed he won the election. Zeldin has defended his challenge of the results of this Electoral College, saying in a speech on the House floor it was his duty to speak out about the allegations of fraud and malfeasance that Trump had repeatedly floated. What about Lee Zeldin? Is he getting the backlash as far as, is it the right thing that he's getting all this stuff? Is it the right thing that people are kind of lashing out, asking him to step down and everything else? What about with Lee Zeldin there, Steve?
I happen to be a big Lee Zeldin fan, okay? I like Lee Zeldin. I like him, but he's not going to like what I'm about to say. He is drinking the Kool-Aid and choking on it, okay? He also, you know, to do a little history, I think the smart guys talked about the time when he pulled his mask off at a rally and was just, you know, like, covert's not a big deal and nothing is, you know, and he is just on board with this president regardless. It's like, I think you're the one who said if the press secretary, Trump said to jump off the side of the building, she would jump off the side of the building. And that's what the same with Lee Zeldin. So I think it's a tough situation for him to be in because he wants to be loyal to Trump and loyal to his party. But at the same token, I truly don't believe he actually believes in what he's actually doing. He can't believe that we don't have to lower the temperature. And him being a leader of Long Island and a representative, I think he owes it to his constituents to get a more middle ground thought on this. And I give Mitch McConnell a lot of credit when this thing started because I didn't expect that. And he got up there and he basically said, you know what, we got to move this forward. We've got to move this forward before, you know, the rioting started. And I thought that he set a really good tone, and I was kind of like proud of the day. And then from that moment forward, obviously we all know what unfolded. And I'm also proud of Mike Pence, but I would have been very proud of Lee Zeldin if he jumped on board and tried to not, if he felt that he had to, you know, be loyal to something, to drink in the Kool-Aid or Trump or the Republican Party or whatever it is, it's not common sense. It's not a common sense move on his part, and it's not a matter of whether or not you believe that the election got stolen. It's not a matter of that. It's not a matter of the politics at that point. You know, at that point, when do you stop drinking the Kool-Aid?
Yeah, but Steve, let's be fair here. Because you know you can make the case in the past. Congressional Democrats have raised objections during the counting of the Electoral College votes of yesteryear. You know, so anybody, you know, let's be fair here. If you're calling on Zeldin to resign for supporting an objection last week, how about people put up statements from the past calling for the resignation of every congressional Democrat who did do that in the past? I mean, let's be fair here, because you can make the case this is centered around Donald Trump. Listen, anybody surrounding Trump, no matter what kind of supporter you are, they're going to call for your head. But again, you have to look over the years as far as happening in the past. Listen, if one side did it, why shouldn't it be good for the other side to at least raise an objection? Now, listen, was there evidence and everything else? It went to the highest court. I understand that. Were there irregularities and oddities? Possibly. Was there constitutional type irregularities? Yes, there were, and it has to be corrected. So in essence, to raise an objection, you could kind of make the case for Lee Zeldin. You know, it was his duty as a representative in the House of Representatives to do just that. But again, I look towards what happened yesteryear when the same type of stuff happened. I didn't hear for the calling of heads. Didn't hear a lot of protesting in and around offices and everything else. So I say be careful here. So that's something you have to look at in an honest fashion.
Jay, I don't think that Lee Zeldin should have to resign over this. I think you're right. But what I'm saying to you is this is going to be a black mark on his record. I do believe he could have done it. Maybe did exactly what you wanted, but then actually try to like be a little bit more moderate in what he's thinking and what he's saying. Maybe he should have came out and said, you know, Trump took this too far. But I still believe in what I believe in. You know, you're only three or four good words away from politically, you know, saying what you need to say, and I'm agreeing with everything that you're saying, but this is a whole nother ball game because the action that took place was so unbelievable that, you know what, we're looking upon our leaders not only to be, you know, political, but to lower the temperature and get some common sense going forward. And that's where I think Lee failed. You know,
listen, I'll say this because there's a guy who, you know, could be running against him next year. You know, a guy who's saying that Lee Zeldin is not loyal to the people in the first congressional district. You couldn't be more wrong about that. And you're really just harping on the whole thing, you know, only loyal to Donald Trump, who's a con man, blah, 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 blah. You know, can you come up with something original, please? I mean, if you're planning a run against this congressman, you're going to be like all the others. You are going to lose in tremendous fashion because there's no substance to that. You can't say Lee Zeldin is not loyal to the people in the first congressional. You couldn't be more wrong. This guy has done more for the people of the first congressional than anybody. Okay, anybody, and I mean anybody. Listen, you go on the third. I don't see the guy running the third district doing a lot for his people there. I don't see a woman who's representing the fourth district doing a lot for her people there. I'm sorry. Nor the fifth. You want to get into Greg Meeks? I don't see that either. You know, you want to tell me Peter King? Hey, Peter King has been incredible as far as his run, 14 terms and everything else. I mean, Andrew Garbarino can hope he can fill half the shoes that he has to wear in the second congressional. But please don't tell me that this guy is not loyal to the people in the first congressional. In my opinion, this guy saved the fannies of all regarding COVID-19, getting the funds that normally would not have been gotten if it wasn't for relationships that he carved in Washington. Fact! Okay? So don't tell me he's not loyal to the first congressional. That's a slap in the face. Okay? As far as you don't know what you're talking about. Okay, give me something of substance telling me he's not loyal to that first congressional district. It's just silly. Asinine.
I agree with that. I 100% agree with that. What I'm saying is that there's a way of being loyal, okay, and there's a way. And by the way, I am a Lee Zeldin believer. I mean, he's done some great things for Long Island. So 100% right, Jay. I think you have it right. But what I would like to have seen him do is basically – show more of a backbone when it comes to Trump. And I think I speak for a lot of people that would have loved to have seen him do that. That's all. I don't disagree with what you're saying at all. And as far as people saying, oh, he should resign and that, there's going to be a lot more. It's not only Lee Zeldin. This whole country afterwards, you're gonna see all these Kool-Aid drinkers and all these people that are going to look to take them out. I'm telling you. This is going to be like guilty by association with Trump. This is a big deal. just like you said when you said to me, hey, what you know what, this guy needs to pay a price. Well, he, you know what, he does. But if they can't get him, they're going to be going after a lot of other people that were guilty by association, who were basically, you know, following his orders, you know, which is not a good thing to have on your resume. Okay.
Stephen Schwartz with us. Not a good thing to have in your resume. We'll do one more before the break, and that is to give a State of the State address yesterday and mention the fact that, listen, we can't shut down anymore. We can't halt the situation at hand because of the rollout of this vaccine. So, you know, I mean, finally, the epiphany has come across where one realizes that in the governor of the state of New York, of course, I'm talking about Andrew Cuomo, who realizes you can't shut down anymore. There are some major flaws. Now, listen, I get it. The transfer of the doses to the government, to the states, is abominable as far as the state. 300,000 and everything else, I understand that a day, but you have to have a plan. There's no plan as far as the distribution is concerned. You know, when I look at Nassau, here on the island, and by the way, the island should have their own plan as far as I'm concerned. But here on the island, it seems that there is more going on in Nassau County than there is in Suffolk County. So where is the plan? You know, Jones Beach is opening up this week in addition to some of the other places. You got a couple happening in Riverhead and thereabouts in Suffolk. But you know what? People are confused. It's chaotic. It's just an absolute mess. You know, warp speed has halted. The nose speed. At this point in time, people want to get their sleeves rolled up, but they can't get inoculated. The plan is no plan, as far as I'm concerned. So, you know, when I hear the State of the State yesterday and everything else, you know, the indoor dining show, it's good to shut down everything. I'm glad you realize now you can't shut down. You can't shut down everything, okay? You got to keep things going. But right now, you look at this plan of distribution, Steve, it is despicable the way they're going about their business. Despicable. The amount of doses, the amount of inoculations, it is a mess. People calling up hotlines, waiting for hours. I mean, you know, you're looking on a website, you can't even get an appointment for who knows how long. I mean, it's an absolute disaster. Disaster regarding this vaccination rollout, I'll tell you that much.
That's the word. What if of the day. This is what today's show is. It's all about what if. What if our president really said 5% of what he was going to do, he would have done. He has gone to sleep on this COVID. You want leadership? Look right at that White House. Look at what's gone on there in the, you know, ever since the election. You know, you want all these good things that you're talking about that we should be on. We should be on it. He should. Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to get the national. Everyone's going to be involved. There's no one involved, Jay. The lines are 3-4 hours. People are confused. It's now come down to your local government handling it, and they're really not equipped to do it. And some are doing it better than others. You know, I heard that they're coming out with these 24-hour, 7-day-a-week vaccination sites. Finally. That seems like a pretty damn good idea to me, you know? So finally, and believe me, it wasn't done by your president, you know, who really, this was something that I'm telling you, I hate to go backwards on this COVID thing, but if you allow me for 30 seconds just to tell you the frustration of what if. What if this president was right when he said it's all going to be gone by Easter? It's all going to be gone by Easter. That was last year, by the way. And what if he was right again when he says, you know, when the warm weather comes, it's all going to be gone. You know, and then right towards the end, he had a chance to turn his tide when he got COVID to actually take this seriously, because he actually got COVID. His family got COVID. And I'm sure that he knows people that died of COVID. There were political people that he knows died of this. And yet he just slept right through it. What if? And you know what if? If he was right, because he spent his whole presidential 4 years double downing, triple downing, never being wrong, ego before country. You know what? at the end of the day, if he was right about COVID, let's say by some grace of God, a miracle, that he was right that in the summertime, because of the warm weather, COVID was gone. He would have won this election, like we said, by a landslide. And then if you continue with what if he could have gone down as one of the greatest presidents ever? We were talking about this a few months ago. This guy's done so much good. He is now going to go down as one of the worst. It's amazing how quickly you go from hero to goat, whether it's politics, sports, your life, this, that. It's unbelievable how the wheel turns. And the bottom line is on this, Jay, is that you're asking now all these local guys, these guys that really aren't even equipped to come up with the plans. And you're looking at Cuomo and de Blasio, but it goes way deeper than that, way deeper. Because I'll tell you something right now. These guys are not, equipped or the best leaders to have. They have dropped the ball all the way. We've talked about it. Look what's going on in California. Look what's going on around the whole country with this COVID. We've had so much time to plan, so much time to think about what we were going to do. And you know what? Nothing, Jay. Nothing. Nothing. Now, all of a sudden, you know what? You're getting a little bit of hope, but very little leadership.
Steve Schwartz, smart guy. Two quick sports things I'm going to throw in here before we take a look at the Bronze 30 winner. And since I got you solo, I'm going to take advantage of that because I know you're a sports guy. One is the sheer domination I saw last night in the college football championship game. And, you know, to me, I thought it'd be a little bit closer. I thought it'd be a shootout on both sides. Very disappointing the way the Buckeyes played. But no surprise, because, you know, look at Alabama, you know, they got an all-star at every position, even the backup. Most of those guys can play pro ball tomorrow. I mean, that's how good they are. I mean, look what the Heisman guy, the winner, did before he went out with the injury. 200 yards receiving, 3 touchdowns. It was ridiculous. It just underlines the point of college football that they must revamp, Steve, the playoff system. And this was a year in which they could have thrown in a couple of extra teams. Texas A&M comes to mind. Cincinnati comes to mind. There's a couple of extras. You know, BYU, you want to throw them in there. You know, it could have made it interesting. And sometimes with more teams in the mix, it puts teams like Alabama on their toes. You know, the fact that they might have to play an extra game, the fact that they're going to have to play tough. Notre Dame wasn't even the same league when they took them out a couple of weeks ago, and look what happened last night. So I think more test has to be given to champions. I think that they should somehow duplicate, although you can't fully duplicate basketball with the NCAA, because to me that's the best playoff system in the country in any sport, any league. But I think more test has to be given so we don't see debacles of what we saw last night in a college football game that was just completely one-sided from the get-go.
I couldn't disagree with you more. When it comes to college football, I used to love college football even more when they would just have a million bowl games. Give me a million bowl games, because these are still kids. They're not getting paid to play. Most of these kids are not going to see a pro field. So when a kid wins the Tangerine Bowl or the Green Bowl or the Orange Bowl or the Fiesta Bowl or the Rose Bowl, that's their championship. That should be it. I'm good with that. I was never even for these four teams. I like the idea of debating and going back and forth and saying, oh, this is this and that. Why does everything have to be so dotted and crossed, like dot your I's and cross your T's? Why can't college football, which is an amateur sport, which I hope and pray stays as an amateur sport, okay, that we could have 20 champions? And by the way, Alabama does a great job. They go back to Joe Namath, Paul Bear Bryant, Kenny Stabler, the Snake, all these great teams. I think he won 6 collegiate titles. This guy broke his record now with 7 Saban. I love Alabama. They do it right. How many more games do you want them to go through? What they got to play a pro schedule and set this up? This is football. This isn't basketball. It's two different sports. Football, we should let these kids play an extra 5 weeks. What about going to school? What about going to school? Let them play. And you know what? I like when there's a huge debate. I like when there's a, I think that this and that. I think that was so much fun. I think now I got another professional league going. I don't want a professional league going. I want the kids out there playing. I want to root like the Stephen Schwartz J. Oliver Bowl means something. Okay, the Charlie Walshine Bowl means something. You know, because at the end of the day, smart guys should have their own bowl, and we should put on maybe two Long Island teams here and play it as if it's the Super Bowl, because that's what this used to be. This used to be every single bowl game was must-watch. I don't see that now. I don't see that. So then you got a game last night that was like no different than a preseason game, because Alabama was just so much better than Ohio State and probably better than anybody. And Cincinnati was going to make a difference, or Texas A&M was really going to make a difference.
Oh, how do you know? But how do you know, Steve? How do you know in basketball? In basketball, you have Davids beating Goliaths all the time. Why shouldn't we think a Cincinnati on a good day can't beat an Alabama? Why shouldn't they have the chance? If you're 9 or 10 and 0 going into the final game, why shouldn't you be a qualifier as far as the playoffs are concerned? You know what it is? College football.
Let everyone be a champion. Let Cincinnati win their bowl game and be a champion.
Steve, college football has the same old dreck calling the shots. Same old board of directors. They're old, underlying old. Time for change. Time to get a little excitement into the world of college football. Not the same. I don't want to see Clemson. I don't want to see Alabama, Ohio State. It's a Final Four for the last 5 years. I don't want to see it. I want something a little different. Now, one more. Doug Peterson fired. I know your pick was Howie Roseman. We'll see if you want it or not. If I'm the Jets, I wouldn't touch this guy with a 10-foot pole. You threw the game against the final game of the year against the Washington football team. Forget the fact the Giants could have gone in, could not have gone in. That doesn't mean anything to me. Your players disrespected you for what you did. I don't care if it was a call from the top telling you to put in your third-string quarterback in the final quarter. Not interested in that. What I am interested about in the fact that you are the guy, you are the director on the field. I don't care what management has to say. There is integrity involved here. You threw that game, okay? And you got to live with it, Doug Peterson. You're out of a job now because you have no plan and everything else, 4-11-1. Now, if you're Joe Douglas running the Jets and there's an affiliation because you came from the Eagles that you want to talk to this guy to run your franchise, be careful. I don't know if I want a guy like that, because you know what happens with players in one end are also the thoughts of other players in the other end. And quite frankly, you don't need to have that toxicity put into your program. And again, I'm not a Jet fan, but I wouldn't touch this guy for anything in the world, I'll tell you that much. Quick response.
All right, when it comes to college football, I'm old school. And when it comes to hiring coaches, I'm also old school. I kind of like the idea of bringing him in. He's a Super Bowl winning coach. He's actually a really smart coach. I kind of like him. I think there was a lot of politics behind closed doors on this. And I agree with you. The integrity of the game is a disgrace, especially at the end of the season, when the season's basically over. So I think the Jets should hire him. I think it would cause good controversy between the Jets and the Giants. It would be almost like a kick right in the butt for the Giants. I think that Jet fans would kind of like the moxie of it all. And I think I can make about 50 other situations that's happened over the last 5 years about the integrity of the game. And if you hire this coach, by the way, it's sort of like the Lee Zeldin story that we talked about. You know, I mean, okay, all right, no. Lee Zeldin's a champion, and this guy's a champion. The Jets should hire him.
Listen, Steve, when you lose respect of your players, I'm sorry, I can't put them into another team. until the dust settles. Too soon. I don't want Doug Peterson near my franchise. There's no way. As far as I'm concerned, bringing back a 79-year-old Bill Parcells is a better choice than bringing Doug Peterson into my organization. Now, we get to the coveted 30. We'll get to that big award right after this. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we give out a coveted bronze attorney award for those who have stepped in it over the last period of time. The nominees last week for me was Lee Zeldin / Andrew Garber. And that was mainly for being on the fence. You know, which way were they going to go? They didn't give you a decision as far as the objection. Lee Zeldin finally came out and objected, of course, to the Electoral College vote situation. Charles Walshine's pick was Senator Josh Hawley, and Stevens was Howie Roseman. That was to be the general manager of the team we just spoke about, the Philadelphia Eagles, and the winner goes to Mr. Walshine's selection, Senator Josh Hawley, who kind of led the way. You know, he's one of the first guys that came out as far as stating that he was going to object to the vote. Many people thought he was rather disingenuous in his explanations, really. Maybe wanting to be president one day really kind of stood out there because he needed the notoriety and everything else. Kind of died on the vine somewhat, Josh Hawley did. But congratulations to Walshine and his selection. Mr. Schwartz, your selection for the upcoming.
Well, I have Charlie's selection, which I'll use real quick first. He told me either way, whether he won or lost, and congratulations, Charlie, on a great pick. He is going to be, he wants to be the first back-to-back winner ever, so of the Bronze 30 Award. So he's going to re-put in the hat Josh Hawley. He's putting him back in there for actually the same reasons and the obvious reasons. My pick this week is going to be none other than Lindsey Flip-Flop. I can't even tell how many different sides this guy went to within 72 hours. I mean, Lindsey Graham, I mean, please. I mean, you know, you're sitting saying one thing. An hour later, you're saying something else. An hour later, you're getting torn apart at the airport. An hour later, he's been everywhere on the map on this. I'm done. No, I'm not done. Maybe I am done. Maybe, I don't know. Am I done drinking the Kool-Aid? Maybe I'll choke on the Kool-Aid. No, I'm done. I'm done. Listen, Lindsey Graham, enough. Bronze 30 Award.
All right. Listen. I weighed a lot of things here. I heard the State of the State address from the governor of New York. I have to give it to the governor. I'm sorry. If he ever comes on here again, maybe I'll give it to him in person. Probably not. But in essence, I don't want to hear about New York suffering all the time. Okay, I don't want to hear about the deficit. You know, $15 billion, give or take. I'm tired of the whining. I am absolutely tired of the whining, please. Let's get into really what's going on. And let's, you know, you backtracked a little bit. You know, you finally recognize that you can't shut down anymore because of the vaccine rollout and everything else. You gotta get things open because of the economy and everything else. But, you know, there was very little substance in that address yesterday. Very, very little substance. I don't want to hear about the situation of going green. I don't want to hear about spending big on some of the new infrastructure, transitioning to green energy. I don't want to hear it right now. You know, give me something of substance, please. It was a 45-minute disappointment as far as I'm concerned with that speech. My selection is the governor of New York regarding the address. Didn't like it at all. You're going to talk about legalization of marijuana. Sports betting, by the way, should have been in play a long time ago. Long time ago. No reason why New York should not partake regarding internet, you know, sports betting, and Jersey does, and all the other states do. Most states do already. New York's so far behind the. I mean, that would be a source of revenue that you could embrace for a very long time. But I don't want to hear about the, you know, constant legalization of marijuana. I mean, stop it already. You know, give me something here, please. And for crying out loud, get this rollout going in the right direction as far as the vaccine is concerned. So, you know, not too much condemnation regarding that, but that's my overall selection. Mr. Schwartz, always a pleasure to have you. We thank you. You stay well.
Thanks, Jay.